I'm Linda Perry with WBAI News for Friday, April 4th, 2014. It's cloudy today. Some rain is likely, but the weekend looks great. Partly sunny on Saturday and mostly sunny on Sunday with temperatures in the mid-50s. The U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee voted on Thursday to declassify its long-awaited report on the CIA's use of brutal interrogation methods critics say amount to torture. Senator Dianne Feinstein, a Democrat who chairs the committee, said the vote was 11-3 to declassify what she called the shocking results of investigating the Central Intelligence Agency practices under Republican President George W. Bush. The vote to lift the blackout on the summary and recommendations of the 6,200-page report follows an unprecedented clash by Feinstein with the CIA and would give the world its first official look at the regimen of interrogation and detentions in the aftermath of the September 11th attacks. The Obama administration secretly financed a social network in Cuba on Twitter to stir political unrest and undermine the country's communist government. An Associated Press investigation found the program evaded Cuba's internet restrictions by creating a text messaging service that could be used to organize political demonstrations. It drew in tens of thousands of subscribers who were unaware it was backed by the U.S. government. Initially, they sent messages about the weather, soccer, and music to not alert the Cuban government. Later, they were supposed to push messages which they hoped would foment dissent. Documents and interviews showed the U.S. Agency for International Development went to extensive lengths to conceal its involvement in a so-called Cuba Twitter. Fulton Armstrong is a former CIA analyst who worked with the Senate Foreign Relations Committee.
It's a really sad story when you have bureaucrats with some political intervention being going around running operations for which there's no oversight and no transparency.
The project was launched shortly after American contractor Alan Gross was arrested in Cuba for undertaking covert work to expand internet access. The U.S. Agency for International Development set up front companies overseas and routed money through a Cayman Islands bank to hide the money trail. Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance announced the indictments of two men who sold illegal guns in plain sight. 36-year-old Javon Burgess, also known as Black, and 24-year-old Paul Lee, also known as Gangsta, were indicted for selling 39 illegal guns, ammunition, and large-capacity magazines to undercover police detectives posing as Manhattan-based gun dealers. And they sold them in broad daylight outside of the Bronx Zoo, near Co-op City, and in a McDonald's parking lot. Vance says the indictments speak to the proliferation of illegal guns coming into the city from the South. One of the men indicted obtained guns in South Carolina and requested that the undercover detective send payments to him in South Carolina for one of the sales through a Western Union money transfer. This week, Albany saw lobbyists on both sides of the gun control issue, both sides of the SAFE Act, a law that was put in place right after the Sandy Hook elementary school shootings in Newtown, Connecticut, to stop criminals and the dangerously mentally ill from buying a gun by requiring universal background checks on gun purchases. It increases penalties for people who use illegal guns and imposes the toughest assault weapons ban in the country. On one side of the Capitol, anti-gun controllers trash Governor Cuomo and the SAFE Act. On the other side of the Capitol, New Yorkers Against Gun Violence and state legislators against illegal guns spoke out in support of the SAFE Act. They called for more legislative action to further gun safety laws. Assemblywoman Ellen Jaffe is looking for common ground.
Why not have, you know, child access prevention, such as safe storage being required or trigger locks? Or, you know, when if somebody's out of their home, assure that there is a secure gun cabinet. Why not have victims of domestic violence be protected? And so when the police come in to an emergency situation, they would remove the firearms from the scene of a domestic violence situation. I don't understand why we cannot work together. And we did reach out to them and say, on this issue, we should all stand together, work together to put forward legislation to protect our families.
And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York, listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifica radio, broadcasting at 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. In New York City, Mayor Bill de Blasio is putting out the word for parents in New York City to apply for full-day pre-K. The mayor announced that the city now has 4,268 new pre-kindergarten seats in the five boroughs for the 2014-2015 school year. At a news conference at PS1 in Chinatown, he said now that we have $1.5 billion, $300 million a year for pre-K for 5 years from the state budget, he wants to make sure parents know how to sign up. Ads are going up in many languages. Brochures will be distributed. Democratic Assembly Speaker Shelley Silver said the decision to fund and implement pre-K will bear fruit down the road.
You know, years ago we competed with New Jersey, maybe South Dakota. Today they're competing with the children in Europe for the jobs 2 decades from now. Today's pre-kindergartners are the New York workforce 20 years from today. We have a great, great university system in New York State. What we need, it's kind of like building a building. You don't build it from the roof down. You need the foundation, and pre-K is that foundation. So we really need to give our children the best opportunity to win the competition so that New York can win the competition 20 years from now.
Parents can apply to place their child in full-day pre-K by going to the New York City Department of Education website, schools.nyc.gov/pre-K. The deadline is April 23rd. You can also go to our website, WBAI.org, for more information. Have a great weekend. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.